Thank you, Pastor. You have your Bibles open with me to the book of Psalm, the first Psalm. I have enjoyed myself here. I'm looking forward to Saturday also. I've already heard some of these brethren preach, and they preach too. You come back Saturday, and I'm sure you'll enjoy it. I'm looking forward to it. And I'm looking forward to the Lord coming back, I'll tell you. Matter of fact, I'd be willing to hand him my date calendar right now, and he'd come back. Anyway, he can work it out. I'm a candidate for it tonight. I don't know. I was telling the preacher last night, I don't think in my case anyway it's anything real spiritual. I've never really felt real spiritual myself, but most of it's selfish, I reckon, but I'd sure like to see him come back. No more broken down cars. No more separations, no more misunderstandings. The fight will be over. And I'm looking forward to that. The old car I got's third breakdown this month, or last month. I started out and broke down in El Paso. Then it broke down in Houston. Well, actually, and then it broke down in Beaumont, too. So I said, well, 3.5. That wasn't a real good breakdown. You ain't broke down unless you're out there, you know, and it's really broke. And then up here in Columbus, you know. Some of these missionaries better know what I'm talking about. There's some, you know, there's a breakdown, then there's a breakdown when it's broke. And some of these missionary brethren ain't no more. Well, I'm a deputation representative. Now I got to stop that. If some of these missionaries aren't more, all right, get proper English here. If they ain't more inclined than I am mechanically, man, I done messed up anyway then. Well, anyway, I'm helpless when it comes to mechanical things. I just don't know nothing about them. But the Lord already told me there ain't going to be no cars in heaven. The Lord told me that. Now, if they is, they won't break down. I know that. But I don't believe there's going to be cars in heaven. I've had my fill of them. And I'm looking forward to Jesus Christ coming back. But I love to think about heaven. Boy, I love to preach about heaven. I like to think about the sweet by and by, but this is the nasty now and now. So until Jesus Christ comes back, we must occupy it. And I'd like to speak to you from the first Psalm. And I realize the time, and the preacher said you've got plenty of time. Ain't worrying about it. I know some of these children got to school tomorrow, and you all got things to do, and I know that, so we're not going to try and waste any time. We'll try and get right to the point. Promise if we chase any rabbits, we'll try and tree them real quick. All right? Or hold them. I guess you don't treat a rabbit. Whatever you do to a rabbit, we'll do it. Psalm chapter number 1. Psalm chapter 1. Excuse me. Psalm chapter 2 and verse number 1. Psalm chapter 2, verse number 1. Why did the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, "Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him." Let's pray together. Our Father, our Lord and God, tonight we do thank you so much for this mission conference. We thank you for this open door. We thank you, Father, for this dear pastor and his people. We thank you for our missionary brethren. Lord, our heart beats with theirs. And Lord, we learn to appreciate and love God's men, whether it be missionaries, preachers, evangelists, pastors, no matter, Lord, we just have a place in our heart for them. And many of our brethren have driven many miles to be here tonight. Some of our visitors are here. We thank you for the slides. We thank you for the presentations. And Lord, how the music, the songs, stir our hearts. And Father, I pray for these few moments now. You'll arrest our attention and call our minds here to this passage of Scripture. And give us something from the Word of God tonight. And we look forward all this week to something from the Word of God. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Maybe tomorrow night I might be preaching on the subject of how to have a mission program or New Testament missions or something. You come back if you possibly can. Tonight I want to speak to you on the subject of why the heathen rage. My text, of course, I don't want to take it out of context, but I want to use it as a springboard here to cover some area here. In verse 1 it says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Now that's put in the form of a question, and I don't really have time to answer that question. If I had 4 or 5 hours, and we could certainly cover a lot of ground, but you know where our brethren are going. You've seen these signs, and you don't have to go to the mission field to find that the heathen rage and people imagine a vain thing. You go right downtown Dayton here and find some folks that imagine all kind of vain and foolish things, and people are raging. But some of these brethren are going off, and you know, I'll tell you what, it's I love mission conferences, and I love camp meetings. I was down there to Lisbon, and some of these brethren were there, and my, how that stirred my soul. And I'll tell you, I love that. I love that good preaching and good singing and fellowship and all. And but you know, when a missionary leaves, and brother, when you get off and step off that boat, excitement's all over. There's another kind getting fixing to start. And you find it out real quick, but you get there, and for the most part, many times, you're all by yourself. And my friends, many times as missionaries, we say, we need your prayers more than your financial support. And that's true. I know it's become a cliche, and sometimes we wonder maybe if a fellow really means it. But those missionaries that are missionaries that God has called, and I might say this, if God doesn't call you, you better stay home. You better stay home. Now, I'll tell you what, you ought to have a burden. I see the, well, I want to go to Greece. Amen. I want to pack up and go over there to the Philippines. I don't care what I see a missionary give a presentation. Man, I want to go. I get a burden. I want to go. I think there's something wrong with you tonight if you don't want to go. I really do. Yeah. But I know this. You better have more than just a burden. It'll take more than a few starving children. It's going to take more than a few of those pictures to keep you there, brother, after you get there. We went yonder to Alaska, and we're dealing with Tlingit Indians, and got off the plane, mail plane, took us over there out in the bush area, got out there Monday, and Tuesday the town village council came by and said, best thing you can do, white man, is get back on that plane Wednesday morning and be gone by noon. And of course I planned on being there a little while longer than that, and we went on from there to perfection. But I'll tell you what, when you get off, and brother, there's no preacher conferences. Every once in a while, one of the churches will send you a tape, and my, how I appreciate it and enjoy those tapes. But there's no preachers to counsel with. There's no pastor to go and see, and there's no preacher brethren. I mean, there's strength. You know, you get around your preacher brethren, and boy, you get, there's none of that there. You're there by yourself, and then you begin to get some folks saved, and boy, you know, I'll tell you, they come to you, and you're the authority just about. I mean, I tried to teach my folk, you know, the book, and one fellow asked me, he said, what book is that? I said, ain't but one. He just ain't but one. If you ask him which one, you probably don't know. But, and you know, they say, well, Brother Jim said. And you know, many times missionaries, they face some things on the field, and one of them's pride. I mean, those folks, you know, pretty soon it got to sounding right good to me even. Brother Jim said that. I'd go out in the village, you know, and they'd say, well, Brother Jim said that. And pretty soon I was almost saying, well, you know, I'd run into somebody to have a different opinion. I was ready to tell them, well, Brother Jim don't say it like that, you know. But, you know, you become kind of the authority, and these brethren need your prayers. Because where they're going, the heathen rage, and the people imagine vain things. But I want to try for a few moments just to answer this question, if I might. Why is that so? Now, I know we can start right at the top. I know we all know the reason. Basically, folks are lost and undone and in sin. again, and that's basically the reason, but there's some other particular reason, and again, we don't need to go all the way to Africa to find it. Matter of fact, I read in the paper some years ago, there was an African couple that had come, they got saved, as far as I can recollect now, I believe the story was right, they were saved, and they came over here to go to school. I believe it was Dallas Theological Seminary, something like that. And somebody was interviewing them and said, well, you're going to go back home and preach to your people and, you know, back there and start some churches. And the fellow said, no. He said, after 4 years in Dallas, I've decided they need some missionaries here in Dallas, and we're staying here to preach. Now, I don't know if they're still there, but that's some Africans coming to Dallas, Texas. That ain't Dallas, Mexico. That's Dallas, Texas. And I just about agree with the brother. I think they do need some missionaries in Dallas. But people imagine a vain thing. Now, basically, well, the greatest problem in the first area that we face, one of the reasons why people imagine a vain thing, not only here but on the mission fields and so forth, is because the cradle has been neglected. They say, preacher, what's that got to do with missions? Listen, you've got a little bit of heathens, brother. They're going to grow up to be big heathens. If ain't something happened between the time that child's born and then somewhere way along yonder when they leave home, you're going to have a big heathen on your hands. And yonder in the mission field, wherever we're at, we, and especially God's people, listen, just because you're saved, I mean, don't you take nothing for granted. Just because you're born again, you see to it that that child gets under the sound of the gospel and that they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. My missionary brethren, preacher brothers, if we win the whole world to Jesus Christ, and we lose our own children, what have we profited? A man that wins the whole world and loses his own family has worked too cheap, as far as I'm concerned. I want folks to get saved. God knows my heart. My heart beats for missions. My heart beats for souls. And I pray God would increase my burden. I pray God would increase the compassion. And I don't feel I have enough. But my friend, the whole world, if necessary, they'll let the whole world go to hell. But I must needs have my children. If I won no one else but my three daughters to the Lord Jesus Christ, I would feel that my life had been spent worthwhile, and someday honor and glory a million years from now, and have them come up and hug me around the neck and say, Daddy, we're glad that you told us about Jesus. We're glad you weren't a hypocrite. There's many, you know why a lot of preachers lose their children? And you know, it's a parable. I mean, it's a proverb about missionaries' kids, you know, MKs and MPKs, you know, preachers' kids. But you know why a lot of them lose their children? Because they're stinking, rotten, no good hypocrites. That's exactly why. They're one thing in the pulpit, and there's something else at home. And my dear beloved friends tonight, whether you're a preacher, whether you're whatever you might be, you might just be a church member here, but listen, your children are watching every move you make. And if you ever expect them to have a burden for missions, and have a burden for souls, and have a respect for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and respect God's man, and respect the preaching, and respect the book, my friend, they better see something out of you in that home. I mean, the average child never see their parents get down and pray for missionaries, never see the parents get down and pray for nothing, let alone for a missionary somewhere that they had never seen. But one of the reasons why the heathen rage is because the cradle has been neglected, especially here in America. The reason they're burning our country down and burning cities down and rioting and raping, and as our brother said, these streets are not safe at midnight. I'll be honest with you, they ain't safe at noon, brother, most of these places. Where I grew up down in Detroit, Michigan, when I was a young boy, it wasn't too safe then, but I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't walk down there in some of them places at 8 o'clock in the morning by myself. Unless God really told me to, and I had some very important business, brother. And the reason we're in that mess is because the cradle has been neglected. And some folks, just outright hypocrites. Now, we might as well tell the truth about it. We might as well not butter it up. We might as well tell the truth. Listen, we say we believe the book, and I believe the book. We say we believe what's on the book. But if you don't read that book, if you don't put that book into practice, if you don't put that book before your children, my friend, you might say you believe it, but your actions belie that, and you're a hypocrite just as sure as you sit in that seat. Nobody praying for the missionary. Nobody praying for the mission field. Your home's a mission field. My friend, if you've neglected that cradle, folks turn the children over. They say, what's that got to do with missions? Listen, we're never going to get us a crop of real missionaries until in our churches and in our homes we come back to, brother, some old-fashioned convictions, and we rear up some children that'll be preachers, that'll be men, that'll be missionaries. Amen. Instead of what we got coming out.
The cradle's been neglected. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. It tells us over in Proverbs 29:15, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. And beloved, we need to start. This thing about missions needs to start right in our very homes. Right in our homes. Some of you all sitting here tonight, you got some stuff in your home ought not be there. And I know some missionaries get on the field, and some of them convictions they had here. I know one brother, boy, you're talking about, you're talking about preaching against television. I preach against it. I ain't had any bit of television program played at home in over 12 years. Brother, when I got up in Alaska, they ain't been done played in my home when I was up there neither. But I see this one fellow, boy, I mean, boy, rat and rape, but I went up there and I wonder, I said, why am I having that conviction? Works in North Carolina, but don't work up in Alaska. Brother, that's hypocrisy. That's hypocrisy. And you can see it in his children. We're talking about why the heathen rage. Our cradles have been neglected. Listen, this book still works. It still works. I mean, take Dr. Spock and Dr. Bottle Stopper and Dr. D. Flew Fluffy Head. Brother, check them out the window and use the book. It works. It's always worked. And it always will work. I was reading one of these parents' magazines one time. This lady had this system set up, and she said, about rearing children, and she had the bathroom technique. I said, well, amen. I know all about that. My dad introduced that to me, brother. We had something, matter of fact, the only kind of dancing we ever done was called the Peachtree Trout. And there was another sidestep to it called the hairbrush shuffle that worked real fine. But our bathroom technique was this. You walk in there, my dad said, drop them, you drop them. Then say, prone position, got over there, man, and held onto that tub, and he'd tear into you. But that wasn't what she's talking about. She said, now the bathroom technique works like this. She said, now when Johnny won't do what he's supposed to do, and you tell him he starts throwing a temper tantrum, you go in the bathroom. I said, amen, sounds good so far. And she said, and then said, lock the door. I said, amen, don't let that little devil get out, lock it good. But the only trouble is you leave Johnny on the outside. Mama goes in there and takes some magazines, takes some chocolates, you know, and take a shower and sit there, you know, prep up, pretty up, and let Johnny have his temper tantrum. And then after an hour or two, when he's calmed down, tore the window shades off and broke the television and everything else, they say, now, Johnny, if you be good, Mama will come back out. I said, boy, I can see my mama doing that. Whew. You ever hear the white tornado? I was named after my mama. Mama was no way 92 pounds, soaking wet with a bowl of grits in her lap. But brother, when she got turned on, I'm telling you what's the truth, man. She gave me my last whipping I ever had at 18 with a broom handle. She whipped the far out of me. And she knew what she was doing. Never read any psychology books, but brother, she knows all about it. What I'm saying is this. If you want, brother, you better get them children, and you better get them while they're young. I thank God it's down in the church that's having a meeting, and boy, some of them young kids, and I mean 11, 12 years old, you know, serving God. They had one of them old-fashioned burning services. Brought up all them rock and roll records, and all them magazines ought not to be there. One fella even brought a television set. I mean to tell you, a big old color television set. I don't know how much that thing cost. And they brought a sledgehammer up there. And that preacher got up there and had it in the front row. And man, he hit that thing so hard, like to knock the clean out into the front row of everybody. Glass went all over the place, you know. I don't know about his method, but amen, I liked it anyway. Like the brother said, amen, but hurt me none either. You know, I really liked it. But my friend, you better get a hold of those children. And if they ever expect to help them, listen, you start bad mouthing and poor mouthing God. Man, some of us, we need to count our blessings and quit counting our bruises, amen. I mean, the bruises, when they're going to be gone, but all the blessings, they'll live on forever and forever. We're going home one day, but Ben, I'll tell you what, I don't want my children to see with the molly grubs all the time, you know. Listen, I'll tell you what, brother. You know, sometimes, some children, by the time they get old enough to really start doing something for God, why, they've lived through what they've lived through, and all the bell making, and all the moaning, and all the groaning. That's amazing to me. Some of them may turn out to be anything. But you put God first, and because the cradle's neglected, and then because vile men are being exalted. You know why we don't have more missionaries going to the field than we got? Because we got in our country vile men being exalted. The Bible tells us in Psalms 12, verse 8, it says, The wicked walk on every side when the violent men are exalted in the land. We got preachers. You know what they do nowadays? They'll have them up on their program. They'll get him up there, you know, and they'll get old, what's that one fellow, Eldridge Cleaver? I wouldn't get him to swipe out my toilet, brother, let alone get up and say something from behind the pulpit. They'll get him up there, you know, and the Kentucky Colonel, and I don't know, little boy, what he saved or not, but I ain't got no use for his racehorses when he's alive, and he ain't getting up there, I'm pastoring, brother, and running his mouth about how God's blessed his racehorses. I ain't going to fool with that stuff. And the Bible said that the wicked men walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. There's those, your boy, that built up old Johnny Carson, and that foul-mouthed, godless, depraved reprobate's going to hell. So, preacher, I ain't done naming names yet. And just hang on now. I'm going to let you out here, and now Friday night, I'm saving all this up, folks. Now, Friday night, there ain't no school. Don't nobody get excited, but Friday night now, I'm going to let it all go. But tonight, we're going to give you a quick one, all right? We're just going to give you a quick one here. And I'll tell you what. They're talking about this Johnny Cassidy. I don't know. Now, friends, I'm not the judge. God knows my... I hope the fella's saved. But I'll tell you what, he better have a little more than what he's got. I was listening, you know, and I'm rather critical anyway, you know, but somebody said he got saved. And I said, well, hell, wait a minute, maybe he did get saved. Praise God for it. And I was sitting in a restaurant somewhere, and he come on, this radio man said, boy, here's his latest album just out, you know, and they started talking it, and there's something about a mermaid, a fish or something. And he said, well, I said, the bottom half wasn't so hot, but oh, that top. I said, he got saved. Uh-huh. Sure. Sure he got saved. Sure he got saved. I see my Royal Roberts one time. He was up there. Boy, you know, they had him up there, and he was singing Springtime in Denver. You know, real spiritual. I mean, that just touched, bless my soul. You know, boy, he got to singing. And then he started singing, I fell into a burning ring of fire. You know, I said, amen. That's the only spiritual gospel song he's even come close to. I said, it's the truth. And that's what the whole crowd's going to, brother. What a ring of fire, too. I'll tell you, you can tell in our country, folks. I mean, we there's a culture stuff for these missionaries, but you know, our culture in our country is dead. It's dying. It's rotten at the core. You know how you can tell that? By what passes off as music and art. I mean, some of this stuff, one fella, he come up to me, and he had his little boy, and he was talking to me. He said, preacher, I want you to tell my boy, what's worse, rock and roll music or a country western? Of course, I've been over his house. I seen that stack of country western albums, you know. I knew what he wanted me to say. I said, well, brother, I'll tell you, just to be right honest about this and right frank, I said, out of the two, that country western's got to be the worst. He liked to swallow his gizzard. Man, he didn't know what in the world. I said, that rock and roll stuff, I said, now, I ain't got no use for that neither. But I don't understand it. I don't understand what they're saying. It's just a bunch of noise. But I understand every godless, depraved, filthy, suggestive lyric on that other stuff. I said, I understand every bit of it. You ain't got no business listening to who's running around with Leroy's wife, and Johnny got tired of Lula Bell and ran off with Tinkerbell or something, and David got tired of Louise, and David just shot the whole thing and ran off with Donald, and Donald and David now taking up Lula. I mean, brother, that's just stuff. I ain't got no time for that. I ain't got no time for that. And then in our homes, it's a mission field right in the doors. I got that stuff piped in, brother. Later, and then wonder what's wrong with the children. What's wrong with the children? Listen to all that adultery and fornication. Oh, I know they changed the names and everything, you know. No longer adultery, fornication, swinging now. No longer drunks, you know, I mean, they're alcoholics, you know. Same old thing, brother, just a different little label on it. But if we ever expect, my friends, if we ever expect to have anything in our own country for God, and beloved, if God, now listen to me well. God don't need America, he can let her go down the drain pipe today, but you tell me this, friend, what will our missionaries do without America? What will they do? Where will they go? Where will they come from? Almost every dollar that goes out to foreign missions comes from America. Right. Oh, we need to get busy, and we need to realize these things. And I could go on and on. Ain't got time for the PTL club and the BTL club and the BTU clubs and the BUT clubs and all that other stuff. I'm going to let that stuff ride. But another reason why that the heathen rage and people imagine a vain thing is because judgment and the sentence against the evil works not executed speedily. The Bible says over in the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 8, verse 11, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of the sons of men are fully set in them to do what? Evil. Right. Evil. My friend, the reason why they're burning our country down, the reason why we got so much rape and murder and robbery and mayhem, is because we got a bunch of these fat, clack Jesus brothers sitting up there. The enemy took out, and the enemy gave 90 days of gas chamber to some of them. It's all really. And then some. And God's got the then some waiting for them. Say, believe in capital punishment? Absolutely. I take care of a lot of this stuff, brother. They let me. I read in the paper the other day, this fellow took this little girl about 3 years old and abused her all, you know, and everything, and no had time to get into it, and finally killed her. And I said, he's sick. I said, yeah, he's sick. And I said, I got the cure. It's called a 38. You know, it was about that long. And pop him right there. I mean, that's the cure. The only cure known. So he said, oh, that ain't, that's terrible. I could do that and go to sleep. Tapper Johnson's baby ass went. I'm not joking. He said, you couldn't do that. I could so. A man that's done something like that is guilty. My friend, he's lost his right to life. And our country's in a mess it's in because we've coddled these criminals, and we've coddled those, and they won't take a sentence, and they won't execute those fellas. And because of that, we see today the criminals are running wild over our country. And people imagine a vain thing. I'll tell you what, they come to my house, they're going to get a surprise, brother. When the surprise, someone told me one time, said, oh, that's not right, preacher. Is it right to allow them to do what they're doing? What's God saying in the book? Some of these low-down, filthy, godless, depraved, liberal preachers that are going to hell as sure as they're standing in shoe leather and back that mess up. My friend, God's got something in store for them, too. But I'll tell you what, I've walked down the hospitals, and I've been in the hospitals, and been down the Baptist Hospital in Winston-Salem and the Children's Hospital, and seen those little children abused, and seen little children, one little girl, her head so big, you couldn't put a bushel basket over it. Her father taken her and slung her head into a door facing and punched her and broken her nose and everything. Another little girl there, mother taken and held her head out over the fire and burned that precious little 5, 3, 4-year-old girl, just a little stub out of her hand there. Burned it all off and burned all the hair off of her head. Another one, little girl about 9 or 10 years old, and she'd been abused, and her parents had sold her into prostitution. And you couldn't get, if you were a man, you couldn't get within 5, 15 feet of that little girl. And she began to scream and to holler. And I've been there, and I've heard them, and I've watched them, and I've heard them at night, and heard them scream in their sleep. And my friend, I tell you, God, we'll reap judgment on that crowd one day. These judges ain't got the last say, thanks be to God. There's another one coming up. Amen, but I'm going to have to hurry along. And this is the greatest reason right here. Because preachers, now brother, we're going to have to lay the blame where it goes. My Christian friend, we're going to have to put the blame where it goes. You know, I was reading a book one time, Dwight L. Moody or somebody, and he's preaching against the bicycles. Had a sermon on bicycles, and I was reading that, you know, and I thought rather amused. I wonder what he'd do if he had to come here today, to America today, and see what we have to preach against today. I wonder what he'd think. But you know why we're in the mess we're in? Because somewhere down the line, some preacher quit preaching on bicycles. Yeah. That's why today they're killing 1 million babies in America every year and calling it an abortion. That's why today they're using 3 and 4 and 5 year old children in plastic pills. That's why today you can't walk down the streets of any city of any size and do it in safety because preachers have quit preaching. I was at a church and boy, you know, I know they got all these different kind of categories and titles and all, but I'll tell you what, I don't care what you are, missionary, what, brother, you're a preacher, God, and God called you to preach, 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 because it works. Works. Works in Alaska. I've seen it work. It works here. It'll work in China. It'll work over there in the Philippines. It'll work over there in Greece. It'll work in Mexico. It'll work, my friend, anywhere. And we've forgotten. Well, they've taught them the programs. They've got the programs. They've got all the technicalities. But they have taken in many of our schools and many of our churches, thank God, not all of them, but in many of them, they have taken the preeminence off of preaching. They have taken the primary part of preaching, and they've regulated it either out of the program or down the line somewhere. My friend, we need some old-fashioned preaching in our country. We don't need correcting. We need some preaching. One fellow said, we need some expository preaching. And I'll agree with that. I like expository preaching, but some of this expository, brothers, real right, good too, every once in a while. Yeah. I mean, I'll go along with that. Yeah. We need some preaching. I recall one time I read a story, and Mae West was writing in a Detroit newspaper there, and she said, you know, back when I was in the movies, and Lord knows, I don't know how long ago it's been, she was a sex symbol, and at that time she was 70 years old. It must have been before my time. But she said, thank God, she said, you know, if I showed a little bit of my leg, or she said, my dress got a little bit low, she said, boy, on Sunday morning, the preachers in America, she said, I was the cause for more Sunday morning sermons than you could shake a stick at. She said, boy, they could sign me off to hell, they preach about me, and then preachers! Yes. We're sitting down at the theater, that's where they're at. Some of them are. We got a lot of star preachers today. We don't have any scarred preachers, folks. We got a lot of big preachers, but we don't have any broken preachers anymore. We got a lot of administrators, but we don't have many agonizers. Well, we got some popular preachers, but we don't have any powerful preachers. We got some cultured preachers. We don't have any crying preachers anymore. And Lord, we got this thing all wrapped up in a little form and everything, but my friend, you can't can it up! I mean, God has to do the work in the Spirit of God, but He chose by the foolishness of preaching. And my friends, the only way to get the job done in Dayton or in China or in Africa is by preaching the Word. The reason we're in the mess we're in, the reason the heathen rage and people imagine vain things is because, my friend, the pulpits in America, they've been desecrated. They've been turned into a clown's stage. I'm not chasing too many rabbits. I didn't told you that I ain't going to chase. But this one here's a good one. This is an elephant, so I'm going to chase him. Boy, this church had this elephant in. And they said this big promotion. Now, I'm not fully against promoting. I promote God's work all the time. But I mean, some of this stuff, brother, goes too far. This guy, they got this. They said, come see the biggest church member you ever seen. I don't know, 2,000 pounds or something, you know. Man, they had this elephant in there, had him all dressed up. Got him down there to the front. You know, stood up on his hands and stood up on his feet, you know, and on his tail. About the time, you know, everything's going good. And they got ready to go, and old Matilda had to go. And I don't know if you ever seen how much an elephant has to go. It has to go, brother. And I'm telling you what. When she went, she went. There was no place to preach. I have to go to the dunghill like Paul was talking about, I reckon. I mean, spooch, splatter, splat all over the place. And I said, amen. The only problem with that was that preacher, the dumbbell, wasn't standing back there close enough so he could get himself a face full of it to go and win. Brethren, I mean to tell you this, we're in a mess. We're in a mess. America's going to be saved. We need for our missionaries, if they shut up churches like this and bar them up, and you say, oh, that couldn't happen. Yeah, they said that in Cuba too. They said over in Romania, too. They said it in Russia. They said it in China. So, oh, wouldn't happen. God wouldn't let that happen. Oh, yeah, try and explain that to them folks over there. Try and explain some of them that spent 10, 12, 14 years in a concentration camp. Try and explain that to them. It can happen, and it very well may happen. My friend, if America's going to be saved, listen, it's going to take getting back to the old-fashioned preaching of the Word of God. It's going to take some old-fashioned convictions. It's going to take the straight... Listen, some preachers in America, they'd rather be nice than right. I'll tell you, I just assume be right is nice. Now, I don't want to be mean and nasty and cantankerous, but my friend, I'll tell you what, we done backed up far as we can go. There ain't no place left to go. And I'll just be honest with you, I'll tell you what, I'd rather see... And I'll be honest, I was at a church up in Oklahoma, and the fellow gave me, I think, and most of you missionaries know this, if you go to church, it's very hard to get a Sunday morning service. very hard, almost impossible. He gave me Sunday school, and I'm glad to get it. Hey, man, I'll take it. Brother, I'll take anything they'll give me, you know. Sweep the park off and let me preach a little while I'm doing it. But I got up there, and he got done. He said, "Boy," I said, "brother," I said, "my goodness," I said, "I didn't know you was a preacher. I thought you was a missionary."
Yeah. Yeah.
I said, "What's the difference?
Amen.
What's the difference?"
Amen.
He said, "Well, of course, I know the difference." But I said, "You know why? You know why many of our missionary brethren can't preach? You know why? Because," I said, "number one, either God didn't call them, or number two, and the greatest reason is because down there at the school where they come out of, they didn't teach them. They didn't put preaching as number one, and they didn't get them out on the street corner and preach." My friend, listen, if you preach on the street corner, if you preach in a jailhouse, if you preach in a rescue mission, you can preach down at Jack Hiles' church, amen. And if he ain't called you yet, well, get out on the street then, amen. And when he calls you, you'll be able to handle it. Don't worry about it. Just get out here. But preach! Preach! It works! It works! It's the only thing that'll work. It's the preaching of the gospel. The Bible says, Psalms 126, he said, "When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dreamed. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongues were singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them." Amen. My beloved friends, my missionary brethren, you go over there and brother, you begin to preach, and them heathen say, "Man, God done something for them. He's done something for them. The Lord has done great things for them." The next verse says, "The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And he that goeth forth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Amen. You won't get them all, but you're going to get some. My friend, those of you that are members of this church, you have a part. You have a part, a very, very important part. And we want you to pray during this week. I want you to pray for our missionary brethren. I want you to pray for their fields. And I want you to pray for yourself. Say, "God, how about me?" I talked to a preacher, I'm closing right here. I talked to a preacher, a good church, big church, about 800-900 folks there. He said, "Brother Jim," he said, "I know that you're not the Holy Spirit. I'm not the Holy Spirit." But he said, "You know," he said, "my heart's burdened. My heart's broken." He said, "I've been here 8 years." He said, "God's never called anybody out of our church to go to the mission field." He said, "I believe God's calling. I just don't think some folks are listening." My friend, I would listen. I'm not trying to call anybody. Because like I said before, listen, I've seen some of them that Brother Jim called. I've seen some, you know, like Brother Greg would call. I mean, biggest message you ever seen. That's the ones that they don't. Some of them don't even make it the first term. Some of them won't even make it during deputation. You get over there, and like I said, all the glamour's gone. All the glory's gone. You're sitting over there somewhere, and you're all by yourself, and all changes. And my friend Dennis, that call of God, don't think keep you there. But I wonder tonight, as God spoke to your heart, I wonder. Say, "Preacher, I'm too old." No, you're not. Said, "Preacher, I'm handicapped." No, you're not. Even our brother sitting in the wheelchair, and I grant to say probably he does more than 2 days, and some folks with two good legs and two good arms and a good back doesn't all week. No, you're not too handicapped for God. Dear blind missionary up in Alaska went up there, Brother Darrell Jones, Mary Ethel took him. Many other boards wouldn't have him because of his affliction. He went blind at about 30 years old, went up to Alaska, had a little cane, went around knocking on doors, and telling folks about the Lord Jesus Christ and trying to win people to Christ. I had him come up to my church and he preached for me. And I'd go down and sometimes when I'd try and stop by, it's about 50 miles north of me, and I'd try and go by the last. Matter of fact, I preached his funeral about last year about this time, and he was in a lot of pain. And I'd go up and he had glass eyes. Didn't he have any eyeballs? And I'd go up and he'd take them eyes out and let me hold them. You get the money grubs. You don't get the feeling sorry for yourself. You get to counting them bruises instead of them blessings. And I'd go up and say, "Brother Joseph, let me see them eyes, brother. Let me see one of them eyes." And he'd pull out one of them eyes and I'd put that thing in my hand. And boy, I'd look at that and say, "Amen." I ain't got no problems. Hallelujah, boy. I start feeling right good, you know. Look at that thing and polish it up for him and give it back. And man, I go out of there and say, "Amen, I ain't got a problem in the world." But there was a man blind, couldn't see, didn't have eyes. His precious wife had to carry most of the load. But that man went and he preached. And some of you sitting here got two good eyes and you got two good legs and you got a strong back. And you won't even go across the street. My soul, help us. God, give us some missionaries. Let's pray. Our Father, tonight, thank you for this time.